Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzamos Oz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about consciousness-altering drugs. We'd like to understand how does this mechanism work, what can we learn from it. Be with us. Nitza, please. Yeah, there are many different kinds and types of drugs, but what we'd like to focus on today are called hallucinogenic drugs that change your consciousness, your perception, the reality that a person perceives once he uses such psychoactive substances, since it really changes in certain areas in the brain our perception of reality. Suddenly a person sees a completely different reality. There were different researches made in this field where people that usually don't take drugs were given such drugs. And really after using these drugs just once or twice, suddenly they started describing different things that they were experiencing as though this became their reality. And they describe different situations where everything's colorful and everything becomes very sharp and the person loses his sense of self and unites with everyone and everything. In short, there are different documentations that allow us to think that it's very possible that there are certain kinds of drugs that cause a person to expand his consciousness, to change it completely and suddenly start perceiving, grasping a different kind of reality.
We're talking about a person's emotional perception of reality, not the physical reality. So, right, this is an interesting discernment. We're especially talking about a person's emotional perception of reality. Meaning I don't start seeing the world in terms of the still vegetative and the animate suddenly turning into something. But my imagination becomes broader, wilder, I'd say.
Right, this is why they're called hallucinogenic drugs, because it's part of a person's hallucination. No problem, it's something well known to mankind since the beginning of mankind. Meaning people always use these substances. Yeah, all the different poisons, little special in order to confuse themselves. We see it in different symbols, in different ancient get-togethers. They used to swallow it, use different substances.
Right, there was the so-called tribal spirituality in the times of the shamans, and the Indians really used different mind-expanding substances. So there's nothing new about it.
Right. What we'd like to understand is that there's a certain perception that the extension of our consciousness is somehow related to spirituality, because people describe it as an experience that's related to spirituality. And we'd like to hear, what does the wisdom of Kabbalah have to say about this? Maybe what's the difference between this form of altering your consciousness by taking drugs and spirituality and the expanding and changing of the perception of our reality that the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about. These two things are completely unrelated, because the use of drugs is completely unacceptable in the wisdom of Kabbalah. And it doesn't allow a person to come out of his own nature. But it's only different colorful kinds of pictures that he projects as a result of the impact that drugs have on our mind. And that's all. Therefore, I don't see how can using drugs advance us in any way. So the entire perception that spirituality is or was in the past related to drugs is incorrect. Furthermore, like we also see in the Tanakh, that all those people that used to get drunk and intoxicated, it's all shown in a very negative light, as something negative, not as something positive. And we never saw or heard that there's anything positive about it. I just want to understand, how does it work? A person takes certain substance, suppose alcohol or a certain drug, mind-altering drug. There are those that tranquilize a person, like with Sisra, with the wine and the milk, right? But I'm less interested in the substance itself, the chemical substance, but how does the mechanism work? A person takes a certain drug and experiences a certain inner emotional change, a change in perception. What's the connection between the chemical substance and the new reality that I experience? How does it happen? How does it happen? Drink a glass of whiskey and let's see what happens. I understand that this is what happens. What I'm asking is, how does it happen? How does a chemical substance change my perception of reality, emotionally wise? It influences the ends of the nerves, the synapses, the different ties in the brain. And what you get are different confused forms of thinking. It confuses the importance of things. And this is how you live a false reality. So I'm experiencing a false reality. So sometimes it's hallucinations. Sometimes people that really drink a lot, they feel such things like demons, spirits, different things. I saw it when I studied in the university. They used to take us to different such places back in Russia, where you had people that were real alcoholics. And there were those that go, look, 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 on your shoulder, there's a demon. He sees that on my shoulder, there's a demon sitting there, giving him different signs, and he's willing to kill him. He's so sure of it. He says, oh, wait a moment, I'll kill him. This one is really... Okay, now I want to ask about a different kind of experience. There are experiences that people describe while being under the influence of mind-altering drugs where they suddenly feel that they and everything around them becomes one. They feel a kind of connection to nature, to creation, to all the people, a kind of flow that connects everyone. Could be that it's true. No, that they feel it, it's scientifically proven. They describe what they feel. No, I'm saying that what they feel, it could be true. Not that they feel it, but that truly this is how reality is. Only why do they see reality itself? Because they have suppressed their ego. What do you mean? What do you mean to suppress the ego? What happened? I'm in a fight with you. We're cursing each other. The next day we get divorced, can't look at you. That's it. I drink a glass of whiskey. I look at you. You're no longer... We can actually be together. I see that I actually feel good with the whiskey, not with you. But I think that it's with you, because you're also in the picture. So what actually happens? I want to understand, because there's something very interesting here. You're saying that maybe they see the true reality that the entire world's connected, but by suppressing their ego by whiskey or by some drug, they see the picture that this is really how it is. Meaning it's not that the whiskey elevated them to see the future, better, more enlightened world and so on. No. But it suppressed their ego. So I understand that the ego has to do with the pleasure and reward mechanism in a person. So what does it mean that it suppressed this mechanism in a person? What did it suddenly do that a person sees everything as united, connected? Because the whiskey influenced him in such a way that his ego surrendered, that he feels good now due to certain chemical actions going on in his brain now. He feels good.
His ego is not demanding anything. He's willing to hug his enemy. He doesn't mind. Suddenly, everyone's connected in pleasure. This is how it seems to him. Why do people like drinking? Why do they drink when they're together? In order to open up a bit. What opens up all in all? What? They decrease their ego, and then it seems to them that they're more connected. This is really interesting because one of the main reasons for which today people use drugs is due to social reasons. It's hard for them to open up to society. They have different social anxieties. And using drugs doesn't cause them such a great hallucination, but it causes them to feel more pleasant together. So what wall came down? The ego? Because he received pleasure. Again, it's a chemical action. He received a certain pleasure that tranquilized him. And he feels good. He's willing. I want to understand a second. There are several levels here. You're saying that the fact that people use mind-altering drugs and suddenly feel that everything's one and that everything's connected and flowing, it's possible that this is how reality truly is, but before they took that chemical substance, they couldn't feel it. They took the chemical substance, it suppressed their ego, and then they feel reality as it is just a bit. This is what you're saying? Yes. Not the way we see it, but the way it truly is. But again, I'm saying, these are things, this is a gray area. So I want for you to make this gray a bit clearer. I'll ask a few questions about the cause and consequence. A person takes a certain chemical substance that suppresses his ego. What is the ego and what does it suppress? The desire to receive pleasure at the expense of others. This is exactly what it suppresses, the desire to enjoy at the expense of others. Okay, I took a certain chemical substance and it suppressed my desire to enjoy or receive pleasure at the expense of others. That's the ego. What then? I no longer want to use the other. What happens then? Then I can hug that person. I can sit, drink some more with that person, sing together. So why do I feel that everything is like one? Because I perceive life inside my own vessels. So the world seems to me that everything's fine, everything will fall into place, this isn't that bad. This is how I accept things, how I accept the world. Next question. You said that maybe reality itself, in reality itself, everything's connected, everything's one, but before I took this chemical substance that suppressed my ego, I couldn't feel it. I don't feel it now either. After taking the chemical substance? No, it doesn't work that way. By this, I can't open up the upper world for myself. What do you mean by upper world? That our reality is all one. I don't do it this way. I'm sorry. You thought that you found a certain trick as to how to reveal the spiritual world by a glass of whiskey. Okay, you lead me step by step. I understand that with the help of chemical substances, I can suppress my ego, which is my desire to receive pleasure at the expense of others. People who use such substances, mind-altering substances, they say from their experience that everything's one, emotionally wise, because they suppress their ego. So what do they experience? Is everything really one or not? Everything is really one, but not the way they think. But because they decrease their criticism, because by this whiskey, they've reached a state where the ends of their nerves in the brain are stimulated, and they no longer see the world as a hostile place. They see that others aren't against them. And this is how they continue to function As an intoxicated person functions in the world, it's an imaginary reality. It's not the real, true reality that a Kabbalist attains by rising above his ego. Here he simply paralyzes his ego by alcohol, for example. And this is why he sees things the way he does, but there's no connection between what a Kabbalist reveals and what that intoxicated person might imagine. When you say a Kabbalist, what do you mean? A Kabbalist is a person that, by a special kind of correction, reaches a state where he really starts seeing the world in his true, real inner mechanism, and not the way people see this world, and surely not the way intoxicated people see it. This person you call a Kabbalist, you say he performs a certain correction, he corrects his perception. What kind of correction is it? It's a correction that's done by the upper force, by the force of bestowal, where he knows how to use the inner force of nature called light, illumination, for it to change his perception of reality from an egoistic point of view to an altruistic point of view. And then, by changing his attitude to reality, he sees reality correspondingly in a different way. In what way? In a friendly way. Friendly meaning how? He loves everyone, and he understands that everyone, in essence, love him and everyone else. Why does he love everyone? Because this is the correction that he has received by that light, like I mentioned before. So this person that you call a Kabbalist has received light that changed his perception from an egoistic to an altruistic one, and as a result of this change, he sees that everyone's connected in love. Yeah? Okay, so now I want to compare. Up until now, we talked about two kinds of people, about people that use mind-altering drugs and Kabbalists. A person who took a mind-altering drug, he took a chemical substance, and he felt that everything's one. Comes a Kabbalist, he receives something that you call light, that you'll explain in a moment what that is, and he feels that everyone's connected and that everything's one. You can say that. Okay, now I want to ask about Kabbalists. A Kabbalist didn't take some mind-altering drug, some chemical substance, but what he took or got was light. What is that? It's also a certain kind of influence over his internality, over his desire to receive pleasure, like that intoxicated person that altered his perception. But what kind of substance did he get, take? It's not a substance. It's a special influence of a force called the upper light. Now, previously you explained that a person that uses drugs, he actually suppresses this mechanism of the desire to receive pleasure. He suppresses it. And then you said, but a Kabbalist, he actually rises above this mechanism. So what's the difference between the suppression and the development, the transcension? What's the difference? I don't know how to explain. I don't really have the words for it. People that get intoxicated for a certain period of time, they are in a kind of imagination. And this is how they depict the situation. People that rise above the egoistic state, not suppress their ego, but rise above it, it's an opposite direction. Meaning they don't erase it, no. But what do they do? they rise above it. Meaning that they disregard it? No. You can't. They rise above it. And then they feel that the world isn't the way it's depicted inside their ego, but the way it is inside the light that they have received and the force of love and bestowal and connection, that this is how the entire world acts. And what they previously felt, it was imaginary inside the ego, that the entire world is in collision, separation, and so on. Therefore, that alcoholic or drug user, when they receive, it's called the potion of death. And the Kabbalist that receives the light and transcends, that's called the potion of life. Why is this called death and this called life? Because a Kabbalist, by receiving a portion of light, he improves himself and sees the true world that doesn't end after a fix or after a few hours, and this brings him to an eternal life that's above our matter. And that poor drunk, for example, after a few hours, he sees that it didn't help him at all, and he feels even worse than before. So when you said the potion of death, it's not necessarily that a person who took the drug dies physically. No, but something about him dies. He is truly disconnected from the true life, from the real life. So it disconnected him from life, and this caused him, so to speak, death. The part that dies in him or about him is that pleasure mechanism, or when we say the potion of death, what dies? This part? The potion of death? That it brings him to death. That every time it forces him to take that drug and eventually not to achieve anything besides momentary tranquility. So it creates an inner kind of death that eventually could also lead to physical death. Well, you said that a Kabbalist improves himself. What does that mean? Because every time he's working on getting an additional portion of light, and this light gives him the attribute of bestowal. What is the attribute of bestowal? That he wants to give, that he wants to bestow, that he wants to benefit others. And when he acts this way, and this is in contrast with his original human nature, what is the original human nature? Only to receive and to delight myself, and even better, at the expense of others. And when he got this portion of light, what happens? He wants to benefit others. And this is the improvement, in essence? Yes, that he becomes a conduit in order to pass the light, the pleasure, onto others. What does it mean to be a conduit? He becomes a transition of what to whom? To everyone that he connects to, that he conveys what to them. The method of connection, fulfillment, how does he convey it to them? Because he receives it himself. You talked about a portion of light. What is that? A portion of light? Yeah, what is that? There's a dose of drugs, and you're talking about a dose of light. What is that? It's also a drug, only it's called the potion of life. But is it something physical? No. It's a special kind of energy. But it's also essential. It's not just energy. It's good, and it works in such a way that it allows a person to connect with everyone. Okay, so I understand that a person receives a portion of light. So it's a certain quantity. Yeah? Also in our world, light comes in particles or in waves. So what light do you mean by these definitions? Both exist in the upper light. What is the upper light? The upper light means a force of bestowal and love, and when it works on a person, influences him, it turns him also into a bestower and lover. It sounds like an evolutional process, like a person lives his life, he gets different kinds of pleasures, he has different problems. So in order to make his life better, he does different things. There are those that choose to take drugs, those that choose to take alcohol, those that have other hobbies that don't involve chemical substances. But all in all, it's in order to improve your life experience. And here, you're talking about a Kabbalist that takes portions of light, improves. You take it from chemical substances, and he takes it from the spiritual force. Where is that force? Here, around us, here where? Here? Where? Everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah? How do I take a portion of it? If you want it. Suppose I want it. You gave me the desire for it. No. If you want to bestow it onto others, if you want to be the transition, the conduit, this is the condition? Yeah. Why? Otherwise, you're not identifying with the light. You're not an equivalence of form with it. Suppose I want to pass it on to others. First want it, and then you'll see that you can receive to the extent to which you want to pass it on to others. To the extent to which you open yourself to bestowing to others, you receive the light and pass it on to others. How will my life experience change, improve then? That you'll all the time want to receive this potion and pass it on to others, to everyone. And why do you call it the potion of life? Because it is life. What do you mean? To pass the good light on to everyone. Dr. Lightman, always leaving us with a desire for more. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.